Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight. A reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Good evening and welcome everyone to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join in with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and with some luck, wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, spiritual intuits, and that list goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back. Take a break. Take your shoes off. Share your lights with us and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Deb Schiller and the Reverend Ann Rose, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. Excuse me. We'll be doing reading shortly, and if you would like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long, because with Ann Rose around, it gets long fast. Deb's in the chat room. If you have a question, I am her, because I don't multitask that well, and I don't actually, I'm not able to type, talk, and read at the same time. It's one of those deficiencies I've struggled with all of my life. If you want to find out more about Ken Quiet Hawk, you can find him at nativestorytellers.com. I'm at barbaradelong.com, and Ann Rose is at http://illuminationsinsights.com. Before we do get involved with readings, though, I want to share with you some very special shows that I highly recommend to those seeking spiritual surroundings, spiritual insight, and really cool, wonderful spiritual energy. with so many shows on Blog Talk Radio, and it looks like it's thousands, sometimes it's hard to decide where you want to share your time, invest your energy, and open your spirit. These are shows I love and I frequent often because of the quality of the material and the insights of the hosts and the spiritual energy that they radiate. I haven't screened them all. I just don't have that kind of time. But these are some of my favorites. Certainly, you know, make your own list as you go along. But the ones that I endorse would be Spirit of the Radio. That's with Ray Booker and medium Sarah May. They're both British mediums, and they're unbelievably delightful. They're on Sundays. Then, of course, there's Renee Richards, who is spectacular. She's on Tuesdays and Fridays, I believe, but I caught her on Saturday, so I think she flips around. Her show is psychic medium Renee Richards. There is, of course, every night from 10 to 12, Curious Times with Chris. That's a phenomenal show where you can find people who are just beginning and people who have been in the field for a gazillion million years. And it's a wonderful, wonderful platform for everybody to stretch their wings in a very protective, loving, warm atmosphere. I go there to decompress often, and I'm a regular on that show on Sunday nights. Then there's the new show out there, 5 o'clock Eastern Time, on it's the Paranormal Psychic Radio, and that's with Solana and Christina Nelson, and they are amazing ladies, and their energy is not to be believed, so check that show out as well. That's 5 o'clock Eastern on Wednesdays. And there's Byte Radio with Robert. He has an amazing variety of people on, all spiritually oriented and insightful. It's a great place to learn, and he is an amazing interviewer. He's really just phenomenal. And Rose has her own show, Heavenly Whispers. I'm not sure when that's on, but we'll get her to tell us. And let's not forget Supernatural Radio. That's with Corrine, and she's the Purple Plate Lady. Everybody has to have one of them. And the website is www.purpleplate.com. And then please don't forget Ken Quiet Hawk's show. Don't forget it, because his last show for a while was last night, and you all missed a fabulous show. I love his show. He does radio shows from the 30s and 40s, and it is mind-boggling how you can reminisce and remember back at those times when there was no television. I do remember when there was no television, and how you could shut your eyes and be sucked into the stories and the adventures that were going on because of the actors and the sound effects. It's an amazing show, and when it comes back on in the fall, please don't miss it, because it is spectacular. Now, my guest tonight, the Reverend Ann Rose, she's amazing. She has a phenomenal show of her own, and I one of my favorite, most enjoyable parts of her, on top of the fact that she's a talented medium and psychic, and she's very, very gifted in her insight. But above and beyond that, and I'm not saying that other psychics don't have brains, but she's one of the most intelligent ladies I've ever met. She has an amazing depth of perception and insight. She draws incredibly from the wisdom that she's carried throughout time. She is constantly learning and growing and stretching and bringing new stuff to the table. And she has, you know, and I'm jealous to say this, she has had the opportunity to travel with her husband all over the country. And she's been able to walk in the wilderness and commune with nature and pick up stones. And it's something that I've traveled across country once, and it was a magical experience. So that she's able to do this and cram that into her busy time, along with helping with her granddaughter and, of course, having her own practice. She's phenomenal, and she does it with style and grace. So, hi, Anne, are you there?
I am here, and that was lovely. I just love listening to you. You know, you talk about listening to the radio shows and stuff, and listening to you, I just feel like I'm just waiting for the next thing to happen. You know, you're just like at the edge of your seat, okay, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And you're just kind of lulled into this, like, false sense of security, you know? And then you're like, yes, I'm going to bring on my co-host, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. You know? Gotta get it together.
Yeah, don't just sit there and wait to hear what you have to say. Although, on occasion, Blog Talk pulls this weird thing on us, or it's because other microphones aren't open or something like that, and you find yourself listening to yourself talking, and I understand it's an echo or a feedback of some sort, but you know, when someone else is talking, you want to stop and hear what they're saying, and if you stop to hear what you're saying, you don't hear anything because you're not saying anything, and I guess one of my pet peeves, I'm sure it's easy to fix, and I haven't run across it very often, but when I do, it's just sort of, oh, damn, I'm talking over me. That's impolite. I should shut up and see what I have to say.
Yeah. I don't like that either. It bothers me because it's like I could probably talk over someone else, but to hear my own voice, I have to stop and listen. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Well... No, I mean, no, because I do it myself. No, I know there's no echo tonight. That was it's just a pet peeve of mine, but thank you, Chris.
That's funny.
No, that has happened. No, I'm not hearing an echo. No, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. It was a pet peeve. It was a pet peeve.
Barb's hearing voices again.
Well, you know, that's actually how the spiritual gift usually begins with people. You know, you'll hear your name called and there'll be nobody there. And I know when I started to become more and more sensitive, and I'll tell you exactly how this happens. When you become more spiritually aware of yourself, when you become more attuned to yourself and your reality and those around you, and when you work on yourself to become more sensitive, compassionate, and understanding, one of the wonderful side effects of all of that is the fact that you do become, your psychic energies become more and more intense. And the more you work on yourself, the more you start to walk your talk, the more profound the sensitivity becomes. So it kind of, to me, is you know, and I know there are classes out there for spiritual development, and they're very good, and they help you meditate and all of that kind of stuff. But in my perspective and in my reality, in my personal reality, in my own little world, the way it happened with me was I had to work on myself in order to become, I had to be more sensitive to myself in order to be more sensitive to other people. And I knew that something was happening when I would be, you know, out in the garden and I would hear my name called and there was nobody there. Or if I was, you know, sitting working at the computer and no one was in the house and I heard my name called and there was nobody there. So, you know, that was how I knew that either I was being haunted or I was becoming more and more psychic. Do you hear that on occasion too?
Well, you know, for me, it was like I always heard my name being called during the day, and I kind of ignored it. So, and because I'm so wired for sound, they got me at nighttime. And what they said, and I clearly heard them say, was, we have to get her at night because she doesn't sit still. And I went, what? You know, that was the first time that I actually was like, what? And they said, Anne, do you hear us? And I went, what? What? And then it sounded like a jumbled, like somebody was trying to tune in a radio. Uh-huh. And that was the only clear words that I heard when it first started. But I would always hear my name very clearly. And I would always hear like a party, but uh-huh. the party always sounded like, you know, it would sound like a party and then it would sound like somebody was trying to tune in like white noise behind the party, uh-huh. you know, but you're right. I mean, but when they got me, it was usually at nighttime because it's the only time I really like was quiet enough. Where they would get my attention.
Yeah, I used to depend upon inspiration that I got at night when I was serving in the pulpit, and it was always I would always hear the idea or the seed of thought that would become whatever I, you know, and I didn't give sermons, I shared personal experiences, but I would get the inspiration at night, and you know, it would be sort of like, remember how you felt when the woman yelled at you and you didn't yell back and you went to higher ground, and that evolved into a personal experience lesson for me, and that became my sharing. And I had been, you know, working in the church for I did one Sunday out of about every six, and so one night, a year or so into this rotational thing, it was getting late in the week, and I hadn't been inspired yet. And it was sort of like, you guys, are you on vacation? Come on, I need a thought. I need something to inspire me to have something worth sharing on Sunday. And I kept waiting and waiting, and I was actually even, you know, losing sleep waiting for the inspiration, and late one night, and I think it was Friday night, the lights were off, and I just, you know, said, the heck with it, all right, and I started to go to sleep, and I heard mumble, 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 and it was like, oh, okay, speak up, and, you know, a little while later, mumble, 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 you know, come on, you know, talk louder, I can't hear you, and this went on for hours. And I finally turned the light on, and I said, for heaven's sakes, give it to me straight or go away. I'm losing a whole night's sleep here. And I turned the light off, and I heard, mumble, 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 mumble. And I thought, damn. And I turned the light on, and I was about to let them know that they, you know, needed elocution lessons. And I looked in my bed, and here was one of my cats, mumble, mumble. He was snoring. I was trying to get inspiration out of a cat snoring, and would you believe I actually did get a sharing out of that?
Oh, it was, that is funny.
I mean, and the message was, inspiration can come from many different places if you're sensitive enough to pay attention to it. And
true.
And you know, I mean, it was hysterical. And he woke up and looked at me, and I said, "So, what's the inspiration?" And he rolled over and kind of like stroked my tummy, and I'll tell you. But an amazing sharing came out of that, because it also taught me that the other side is so lighthearted. They really, while we every now and then get very serious and very serious stuff from them, they have an amazing sense of humor that is just, it's the coolest thing ever. And you know, it was kind of like I think the sermon had to do with, sometimes spirit is out fishing and you really have to fend for yourself.
Mm.
And you know, so I just got the feeling that they were going fishing and I was going to have to just, you know, wing it. And I did. And it was kind of like, you know, if you're always waiting for inspiration from another source, then you're not taking responsibility for the journey that you're upon.
That's true. That's like, you know, always asking when you're going to hit the lotto and you never go out and buy the ticket.
Yeah, I love that one.
You know?
Now you've had you've had a couple of opportunities traveling with your husband, and I think that you are the luckiest person ever. I realize you're living in cramped spaces and stuff like that, but you get to wander in the wilderness, literally.
I do, and it really is amazing. It's not like people are like, oh, my God, I don't know if I could live like that, but it really isn't that bad, you know, because when I come home and I realize, oh, my God, I have so much house to clean, and I have tons of laundry to wash. Meanwhile, when you're in the truck, you stop at certain places to take showers. Somebody comes in and cleans the shower for you, you know, so your shower's nice and clean. They have towels laid out. So everything's done for you. All you have to do is go in there, take your shower, and get out. And so that part of your life is done. All you have to do is clean yourself. So you don't have to take care of any bathroom or anything like that, which is lovely.
Uh-huh.
As far as your food and stuff is concerned, yeah, we can eat a lot on the road, but I tend to eat healthier on the road because, you know, you can't really pack a lot into a fridge that's on a truck. So
yeah.
I do eat a lot of fruit, but I eat that by nature anyway. And I eat a lot of yogurt, and I eat that by nature anyway, but I eat it. I'm guided to eat it more so because it's quicker, you know, whereas at home, you know, with the kids and stuff, it's just easier to eat if I want pizza or whatever, you know, it's easier to have that, but on the road, it's not so easy because there's nothing to heat it up or, you know, it's not convenient to get, you know, you can't keep it in the fridge like that because there's nothing to heat it up with. So, and so, I mean, you tend to eat a lot better. So that's another added plus about being on the road. So I tend to really stick to my natural, you know, food gathering way of eating, which is my natural way of eating. My, you know, eat right for your blood type. I'm an A negative blood person. So I'm a fruit and gatherer, so kind of like a nomad person. So I tend to like to eat grains and fruits and veggies and really not any meat. So that's good with me.
And you've been able to, I mean, I'm sure he stopped along the way for you to sort of wander and stuff like that. And, you know, I just... When I drove across country, we had to keep coming because we had three cats in the car and we had to keep the air conditioner running so that, you know, we couldn't exactly get out and, you know, go wander in the desert or, you know, check a mountain out or anything like that. But you've had that opportunity. You've been able to sort of sit outside where there's just no humanity around you and just feel what it's like to be one with nature. You know, so often, you know, I have cars that go by and I have an airport that every now and then decides to land in my house. And it sounds like they don't actually do that. But to really be where there's nothing but the sound of nature is a profound spiritual experience. And you feel... at least I do, very, very small when that happens. A very, very long time, well, 30-some years ago maybe, 20-some, long time ago, my second husband was a ship captain, and he had the job of being captain on a 140-foot square rigger, and we would take people out into the ocean and sail it. You know, day cruise type stuff. And there is nothing more profound or that makes you feel smaller than being in a very, I mean, 140 feet is big, but not compared to the ocean. And,
yeah.
And to be at the wheel when the winds took the squares and you felt the surge of the wind and the power of the sea and you just feel so small and yet so blessed to be in that kind of an environment.
Yeah, it's something, you know, and you will be in the desert at night just driving. And I like to have the windows down, but I have this phobia of these bugs and stuff. And I'm good until, like, one comes in the window, and then, of course, my dream is shattered. My fantasy is shattered. But, you know, like, I just to be out there and have, like, nothing around, because sometimes you're on the road and there's nothing on the road with you. And so you'll be driving and you'll hear the hum of the truck, and you're kind of like lulled into this false sense of security because, mm-hmm. you know, and like I said, I'm very wired for sound. So I'll have my flashlight and I'll be out the side window, you know, and I'll have my flashlight into the desert because I'll be like trying to shine it on animal eyes so that they'll uh-huh. reflect back at me. And, you know, anybody else who sees me doing this will be like, what is that nut doing? But, you know, I mean, this is what I do to keep me occupied. But you'd be surprised at how many things are out there in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the night, you know?
Wow.
And then the things that are just, like, falling through the sky just
that's
in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because out in the middle of the desert, of course, there are no streetlights, there's no town lights, there's no white lights. So that, you know, when, I mean, dark is dark. And
right.
And I would imagine that you must see, you know, shooting stars and all sorts of fabulous things out there at night.
Mm-hmm. Just amazing things. Like, you know, even when they had like the meteor showers and things like that, you're kind of like looking up and you're going, well, why is that? What is going? Why does that look like there's fire falling from the sky? What's going on? Did I miss something? Then you're trying to get your internet up to look to see. Am I missing something? Is something going on that I should know about? You know, so there's so much cool stuff going on that. But, you know, it's so unsafe to be, I mean, granted, we're moving, so we're very safe, but to uh-huh. be out there and to just be, like, stationary out there, like in a tent or something, I think it would be very unsafe because of the
yeah.
animal stuff that are out there. And then the many people who are out there who don't have your best interest at heart.
Uh-huh.
There were a time that we pulled off to the side of the road and my husband was sleeping. And of course, you know, our sleep patterns are totally different. So while he was sleeping, I was watching a video and I was really into watching DVD. And I was thinking about, I had the window open a little bit and I was thinking about, you know, the Sasquatches. And I was thinking, wow, could he probably reach up to the window? I should really close the window. So I rolled up the window, and you know, just as I did that, I saw this man walking, like, across the front, you know, in front of our truck. And I'm like, you know, I'm watching the movie, and I'm like, did I just see that? Or, you know, it was, like, not really registering until he came around to my side of the door, and he was asking to use my telephone. But he was, like, speaking to me in Spanish. And I'm like, we're in the middle of the frickin' desert, you know? I mean, you're asking to use my phone. Are you kidding me? And then, so, like, my dog's going nuts, and I'm waking up my husband. And then he's, like, he's asking me for water. And I'm, like, waking up my husband. So by the time I get my husband up and he comes to the thing, the guy's gone. So, like, I'm thinking, okay, did I just imagine this? You know, because I've been up for a while watching TV. And my husband's like, did you really see a guy? I'm like, yeah, he went that way. So he
yeah,
out
wow.
He actually saw him walking up there. But he says there's so many people that, you know, are crossing over or hide out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they come out at nighttime that, you know, it really is so unsafe. He's like, don't open the door for anyone. I was like, are you crazy? I was locking the door because I thought freaking Bigfoot was coming.
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought of that aspect of it, but you're absolutely right. Whoa.
Yeah.
But during the daytime, you have walked out there and gathered stones, and, you know, you talked about them. And I envy you greatly because stones are a favorite of mine as well. And I will always, you know, I'm always looking down and looking to pick up something that's unusual or rare or unusual that talks to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can't imagine what your truck must have been like at the end of a trip. I would imagine you had a couple of really good solid baskets full of rocks there that may have gotten your favorite.
Some beautiful stones. Some of the stones that I've never seen before or felt. Like I'm really about texture. Like I like a really soft blanket.
Mm-hmm.
I just like the way it feels. Like if I get a blanket that's really, really soft, like I'll wash it, but I'll never dry it. I'll always let it air dry because I never wanted to lose that softness. Well, I found some rocks that actually have like this softness to it. And I don't know what they are. So I have to find out what kind, and they're very, very, very fragile. Some of them are blue and some of them are green, and they were actually pretty huge. And these rocks I found in Oregon.
Oh, wow.
But they had a powder on them.
Well, I'm going to share with you a story that I'm sure doesn't apply to you. I had a friend who went to Egypt, and she was drawn to the Great Pyramid. She had to go see the Great Pyramid, and I said to her, well, you know, if you can legally bring back a small piece for my gem pouch, because I have a pouch of stones that I use to read with. And I said, but, you know, if you can bring me back a stone from Egypt, from around the pyramids, that would be fabulous. I would so love that. And she said, no problem. I'll just, you know, pick up something that talks to me. And so she brought me back a couple of stones that were actually pieces of the pyramid, teeny tiny little pieces. But she said, I had other stones that I thought were beautiful, and I had them in a bag. And the last day of the trip, I couldn't identify them. She said, I couldn't recognize them. I couldn't identify them. And she was into stones too, so that meant it was pretty different. And she said, so I showed him to the guide, and I said, you know, I have a friend back home who loves stones, and I picked these up, and I think these are beautiful, and I'm going to take them to her, but I want to be able to tell them what they are. Are they indigenous to Egypt? And he looked at them, and he said, yes, ma'am, they are indigenous, but you don't want to take them home to your friend. And she said, why not? He said, it's petrified poop. It was petrified camel poop.
That's so funny.
He took a picture of it, though. It really was kind of pretty.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, you just never know what, you know, things that are beautiful often don't come from beautiful things. So.
Very true, very true.
But that doesn't surprise me, though. It would have been kind of cool to have had it because, you know, every now and then, you know, when somebody cast the stones, I could look down and say, well, you're going through a whole bunch of crap. And
yeah,
and
there you go. Literally.
Very literally. Okay, we've got quite a few people waiting here, so we should actually get to work. I know we could talk for the entire 2 hours and then some probably. So for those of you waiting in queue, let me just preface our reading with, we have a new format, and it's different from, well, it's new, so it's different from the old format. Basically, what we're going to do is get your name and hear your voice and tune to your voice, and we're going to give to you what Spirit gives to us. There are lots and lots of shows out there that will answer your questions, whatever they are, whether they're job, relationship, travel, whatever they are. But it feels to me as though when you have somebody as talented as Anne is and a neophyte like me who's trying to get there too, that to give you our best is to let us loose and to focus us in on a singular question restricts the value of and the quality of what we can give you. So if this is not you know, what you're looking for, there are tons of really cool shows out there, and I listed a number of them at the beginning of the show that absolutely go to some of those other shows. You can ask your question. You can get your answer. But in my experience, and it's just my experience, and I'm not an expert by any means, you know, way, shape, or form, but it's my show, so I speak as the expert here. quite frequently, not all the time, but frequently, whatever the mundane problem is in your reality, it is usually the manifestation of a spiritual cause that is underlying it. So that if we can give you the spiritual direction that's going on, it may well solve your mundane problem, you know, just by addressing the spiritual underlying cause. It's sort of like, you know, if your wound is still open, don't put a Band-Aid over it all the time. Figure out what's wrong and heal it from the inside. And so basically what this way of reading does is it turns Anne and I totally loose. You don't know if you're going to get a past life or if you're going to get mediumship or if you're going to get something weird and wonderful in another direction. But I can promise you it will be absolutely generated by your energy. It will be what Spirit is saying to us as we're talking to you. And hopefully you can take that information and use it in a very, very meaningful and beneficial way within your life. Again, no questions. You can't ask a question. So if that is something that you wanted to do, if that is so, you know, if you had called in with a specific question, this isn't the show for the specific question, but there are lots of fabulous shows out there that will do that for you. Okay, so let's see who we can traumatize. I did clear
we'll
this
give
with
you
Anne.
Specific, not specific.
Yes. But you know, it's just that in order for, and I speak only for myself, but in order for me to grow, I have to be able to stretch. And if you guys don't let me stretch, then I'm not growing and I'm not of any use to anybody. So this stretches me, and this is why I do it this way, and because Anne is a guest, she gets to stretch too. Okay.
I need to stretch.
We need to get the kinks out. We've got Craig here. Hi, Craig. How are you doing tonight?
Hello. How are you doing tonight?
Doing
good.
Just fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I hope you were thanking us for taking your call.
Yeah, I was.
Okay, so Craig, you heard me explain the protocol. What we're going to do is I'm going to read first. I'm going to give you what Spirit gives me first, and then I'll turn it over to Annie, and she'll give you what Spirit gives you, and hopefully you can use it in your life.
Sounds good.
So what I've got here, first of all, is really. It's amazing. I see tons and tons of waterfalls. It's almost as though the water is cascading. There's white water at the top, and there's a cool pool at the bottom. It feels like you feel as though you're on a precipice, as though you're about to take a plunge, so to speak. And Spirit is saying that you have to trust yourself. You have to pay attention to not your fears, but you have to pay attention to your feeling as to what is appropriate for you. And it feels as though you have been guided so much by other people's opinions in the past that you really have lost your own sort of focus as to the actual direction that you're supposed to be going. That's okay. All of us do that all the time. But what you're at this moment in time is it's time to reclaim the passions that are inside of you. It's time to reclaim the purpose of this lifetime. It's time to start moving forward on that spiritual journey that you've sort of been stagnant on over the last little while. And they're not saying, you know, quit your job and go to the mountaintop and wait for the mothership. They're saying, let's incorporate some more of the spirituality into your life, because you have a lot of questions about why did this happen, why did that happen, why, you know. And basically, if you work on the spirituality, those questions all work themselves out. If you stop trying to reason the reasons and step back and allow the universe to sort of do its job, you're going to find that the universe takes care of every situation that is uncomfortable and challenging. It does it in a profound way. It does it in a very subtle way. And so long as you're not trying to manipulate or in any way manage or micromanage your own evolution, you're just fine. It feels as though you have tried to intelligently determine what your steps should be and things like that. And that's fine if you're living in a mundane reality, totally. But you're not. You have an amazing spiritual energy inside of you. You have a spirit that is just dying to sort of get out and sort of touch your reality and manifest in lots of different ways. You need to open those channels, and they're creative channels. There's also music here. It feels as though there's music connected to you in a lot of different ways. And I feel that you've had a number of past lifetimes in which you actually have been either a musician a musician. You've been a musician. I was going to say or a singer, but a singer is a musician as well. You have the capacity to utilize music in unusual and different ways. It does put you in a meditative state. It does feel as though, and here's a past life. This goes back to Himalayas. I'm hearing those singing bowls. And I don't know if you're familiar with them or not, but if you look for a CD or if you Google singing bowls, they probably have the sounds of some of them, and it would be a wonderful meditative tool for you. It would take you immediately back to a lifetime in which you were you were focused on meditation, you were focused on spiritual insight, you were focused on becoming one with nature through it wasn't necessarily meditation, and yet I feel that the singing bowl it resonates so that it vibrated within your body and it just took you to another place, to another time, to another dimension. And I think it, from what I'm feeling, it's something that you could replicate in this lifetime. It might help you find some of the sources of some of the passions of some of the creative endeavors that would help you to move forward on your pathway. Annie, all yours.
What I get is like, it's very odd, you know, I'm very child and very fantasy oriented. So I get Beauty and the Beast. And I get that there's a relationship that you need time apart from space apart. I get that you are not the Beast, but your other half is the Beast. And the roles are reversed. And the person is very domineering. Even though there is much love between you, there is no space or no room to grow. So in essence, what Barbara is saying truly is what needs to happen. And when there is space that comes between you guys, it'll allow for you to grow and start moving to do what you need to do with your life. Also, too, I see that your dream life is very important, and you should be journaling that dream life, because in your dreams is where all your information truly comes to pass, and there's a lot of healing done during the dream time. And I also see that, I don't want to say a musician, but there is music around you. Because I see a lot of dancing, and I want to say I see a lot of wine as well. I don't know what the wine has to do with anything, but wine in Italy. So I'm going to just leave you with that.
Cool. You relate to any of this, Craig?
Oh, yeah, it was very, very helpful.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
our pleasure.
You're very welcome.
Cool. I saw the wine too. I couldn't figure out what it was.
It's weird. I don't know if it has to do with like Spain or Italy or, but I almost want to, like, I could see them dancing, you know, like with the rose in the mouth, the whole, the running of the bulls. I could see all of that stuff. I don't know why. It's very odd.
Huh. Yeah, I saw a vineyard and then I saw a glass of wine and I just wasn't able to. It didn't weave in, so I wasn't really sure what it was. So, and you know, it didn't come back until, of course, you mentioned it, and then it came back.
Yeah.
Okay, very odd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got Queen here. Hi, Queen. How are you doing tonight?
I am in bliss. How are you both doing?
Great.
Doing very well.
How
thank you
doing, sweetheart?
Oh, nice to hear your voice and. You know, before I came on, I was listening to your story and talking about your journey and talking about you flashing your flashlight into the darkness and, you know, so you could see. And I was going to ask you to do that. And then Barbara said, basically, that's what you all are doing tonight. So I await the light from illumination, Barbara.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
that's what we do naturally. And we wait to people's for their souls or their spirits to respond, right?
Right.
Yes,
that's really cool. Okay, so Queen, I'm going to jump in here. I'm seeing dense forest, and it feels as though it's South America someplace, and it does take me back, oh gosh, thousands of years, and there is an essence here of being royalty during a time of great great abundance. I'm definitely in South America, and it feels like I'm in Chile. I'm not great at geography. I have to tell you that right off the bat, but I know it's South America that I recognize it, and I believe it's Chile. And what I'm feeling here is that there was a time of great abundance, and that you were actually a ruler, not of the you know, the huge stuff, but of a kind of a local. It's a cluster of small temples. It's not the huge stuff. And I'm feeling that there was a flow of energy that was really quite profound, it was during a time when there was no war, when there was no strife, when there was no, you know, there was nothing that you had to band together and go out and conquer anything. It was a time of artistic expression and artistic exploration, and it was a time when the weaving was spectacular, the gold work was unbelievable, and it was a time when it was a renaissance of sorts. And it was in South. I want to go back 2,000 years, not just 1,000. I want to go back 2,000 years. And it was a time when you were one who was a beneficiary of talented people. That if there was a talent, no matter how low the person was, that they were given the opportunity to train, to study, and to express and to discover new heights to their skills and their gifts. And you have that ability now, and basically what you do is that when you see a talent and a gift in someone, you do help them to manifest it. You do help them to find ways to become more expressive within their own talent and gifts. You have, I'm seeing also, seeing a lot of birds soaring, and the bird that I'm seeing here is a white eagle. And it does feel as though it flies above the clouds. It flies above the normal altitude for birds. It feels as though I think I'm seeing a totem of some sort. I'm seeing a power animal, because your spirit is tied to it tremendously, and there's the aspect of being able to blend with its energy and use its eyes to see. And what I find fascinating is one would think an eagle would be looking down for prey. This eagle is looking up towards the heavens, as though there is an aspect part of you that is seeking guidance, seeking connection, seeking a way to discourse with, and I'm not saying other planets, I'm saying other dimensions. So there's a difference, and it does feel as though that aspect of you is looking for answers, looking for directions, looking for connections, and you keep seeing those connections, or you get hints of them, you get filaments of understanding and things that are happening on the earth plane at this moment in time. But it's frustrating to you, because you know there's a message there, you know there's a hint there, you know there's a connection there, and at this particular point in time you aren't able to make those connections. Spirit wants you to know that patience is something that everyone is working on, and that once through the summer, once we hit the autumn time frame, that's when a lot of these connections are going to click for you, and you're going to find that there is a new direction for you to be pursuing, to be reaching into. It feels as though right now you're in a hurry to get going, and you don't know where you're supposed to go. And the reality is, what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is, this is a time to be still and listen. To be still and listen, and just allow things around you to sort of move, and you keep yourself sort of in place so that you can make ready for the motion that is going to be happening as you come into the fall time frame. Annie, what are you getting?
Dear one, rest upon the light. Your soul is of the light, of the stars. Your spirit is alive. It's within you, the spirit of the goddess of nature. It is of the earth, the star, the moon, the sun. Accept the love and the light that is showered upon you day in and day out. Know that we do this to bring about the creativity that you bring about when you create things through dance, through your movement with hands, through your movement when you create jewelry, when you create art, or even when you create things of food or of just cleaning. Because they say even your movement of cleaning, the circular motion, is creativity, is music, is beauty in motion. Do you understand that?
I do. And Barbara the Elder and Illumination, the poetic flow that you all have shown me is my soul, my spirit is even more blissful. And your word, Barbara, much I know, I live now, and just today I was looking at the news and seeing all the violence and the, you know, people dying. I understand, you know, we go on to other places and et cetera, but longing for that place you spoke of where there was no war, you know, for the artistic vibration. So I thank you both for surrounding me in that blissful creative energy. I love both of you.
We love you too. They want you to know that there's an endless stream of rainbows that stem from your heart. Just allow them to keep coming. Don't allow what you see in the world to stop you from being you.
I won't. And with you around me and Barbara and other beautiful blessings to help keep me focused, of which I am grateful. How can I feel?
You can't. They're also talking, Queen, they're also talking about writing. There's a lot of writing that's going to be coming from you. I don't know if you started it already, but they're talking about, and I know you've spoken about that, you know, there's a lot of darkness on TV, but the writing that they're talking about is also going to be dark. So I'm just putting that to you too, but it's dark in a way that to make people understand that they need to get these feelings and emotions out. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do. It sounds like the path I've just been victorious on.
Okay. So because they're saying once upon a midnight dreary. And they're showing me the crows. So when Barbara said the birds, I was waiting for her to say blackbirds, and she said white birds, and I'm like, no, it's the other ones. So, you know, I just wanted to bring that to your attention as well.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye. You channeling Edgar Allan Poe here?
I know.
Once upon a midnight dreary, whilst I pondered dark and weary, suddenly there came a knocking at my window. Yes.
I don't even know it. And all I could see was like the crows. What did he say?
That was a raven,
did
I think.
Or was it a raven or something? See, I don't even know what it was. But I know
it was
a blackbird. Okay.
You often channel Edgar Allan Poe. He was weird. He was deep.
Hey, things come in when they need to come in.
I gotcha. Actually, it's funny. James James does Shakespeare all the time, and I often say, you know, do you channel Shakespeare? And he said, no, he channeled the characters that Shakespeare did, and he's phenomenal. He is an amazing, amazing actor, and you know
he's just amazing.
He's so much fun to work with because he gets so involved in everything, and every now and then when we do a spirit circle together, I have to pull him back and say, you know, this is not a Broadway production. We're just, you know.
The drama.
Oh, my God. He's so spectacular. He's such a joy to work with. I am so fortunate to have someone like him in my life.
Yeah, he is just a blessing. He's so much fun.
He is. I am you know, terrifically blessed with the people that I work with because it is so much fun. And now that we're stretching ourselves and doing the readings this way, it's an adventure because you never know where they're going to take you. And it's exciting to you know, see people, you know, and I want everybody to know how grateful I am that you let us do this because it's a teaching tool for us and for you. And you know, we learn from what you give us to say. And you know, without your energy to sort of trigger and, you know, inspire us, we'd sit here and talk rocks. And it would be very fascinating. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah. You know, now we have a bigger vocabulary. Now we have birds, rocks. And drama.
And drama, definitely. Okay, we've got Samantha here. Hi, Samantha. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm doing fine, ladies. How are you?
Very good.
Absolutely well. Thank you. So I'm going to hop in because I keep hearing, it's really funny, I hear bagpipes. And you know, that would say to me Scotland, certainly. And I'm also feeling that there was a lifetime there where Scotland has the moors, right? Yes. Yes? Anne? The
yes.
Moors and
the
okay.
Moors, Scotland
okay.
And Ireland, I think.
Well, I'm on the Scottish Moors. And
okay.
And it feels to me as though you have, your spirit is so unbelievably lovely. And yet there is a melancholy sometimes to it, as though you drift back in time to times when there were situations that you know, just imprinted you so deeply. And this one in Scotland is one of those. You were partnered with, you were female in this particular lifetime, and you were partnered with a young man who was of noble birth, and you were not. So the fact that you were never going to actually be together, but you were together for a short period of time, and it was wonderful and it was magical. And he was sent away by his family. He was sent to become a priest, because he was not the oldest son, so he would not inherit the estates, and it fell to him to go into the priesthood. So you had a rich couple of years with him, and then he was sent off to be a priest. And you melancholy hit you, and you actually wasted away and passed away. You were beautiful, and your spirit for the longest time wandered the moors. And the moors, especially when the fog came up, those are the times that you and he would meet out on the moors. And so you absolutely, you know, drift back to those time frames. I'm not seeing that you have a lost love in this lifetime exactly, but I am seeing that melancholy sometimes, especially when the weather is humid and stuff like that, or there is a mist on the ground, it takes you back, and there is a melancholy that you can't put a finger on, and it does go back to that lifetime. Also, there's also the aspect that you had great anger when his family did what they did, and you were angry at God and you were angry at the church, and so you absolutely pulled yourself away from the church, and you in many ways became very isolated. There's a distrust here for organized religion. I'm not saying you're not a religious person, but I am saying that there is an underlying distrust, a questioning that pops up every time you're around somebody who is quote-unquote slightly fanatical. You have also the ability, and the other place I want to take you past life-wise is to Great Britain. And I know that crop circles are something that is just, you know, that they're becoming more and more popular or publicized. I don't know what the term is that I should use. But 500 years ago, there were crop circles then as well. And you as a young, you were a male in this lifetime, you were a young male, and you went out to the fields, and there was a crop circle there. And you didn't understand how it had happened, because when you would come in the evening, it hadn't been there you first thing in the morning, and there it was. And you went into the crop circle, and you had some amazing sensations energetically. And it was as though part of you woke up, and there was it was almost like there was a... an overflow of energy from the crop circle. I don't know if it had just been created. I don't know exactly what the reason for the energetic there was, but you walked into it and you felt, the first thing you felt was you got goosebumps and the hairs on your arm stood up, and it was almost as though you felt the energy. It was like static electricity, and your entire body reacted to it. There was also a sense of being in like a dome of silence, because you really didn't hear anything. There were no insects, and there was a calm and a peacefulness that came upon you. And you know, you absolutely passed out from the intensity of what you were feeling. When they found you, when they took you home, your life had changed dramatically. There was a part of you that had become wise beyond your time and years. There was a feeling of otherworldliness about you. And you never, from that moment forward, you never were able to fit in to society the way it was then. You actually isolated yourself after a time, because you just you were a seer. You had seen way into the future. You had seen devastation. You had seen world wars. You had seen all sorts of things, and you just couldn't cope with reality and where you knew it was going. And it was almost as though you wanted to skip ahead 8 or 10 lifetimes to when peace would reign yet again. So that was a lifetime in which you were exposed to something that was otherworldly. It triggered an awareness within you. It brought memory and it brought skills and gifts that you did not know you had. It brought them to the fore. You actually spoke philosophy to people, and some people actually did listen to you. Some people were fascinated by what you said, and others kind of scoffed and thought you were just out of your mind. This lifetime, you're beginning to feel those kind of memories, and it feels like it may well put you ill at ease from time to time, because you're wondering if what you're thinking and feeling, and feeling the need to speak about is in reality real, or are you on the edge of losing it? You are not on the edge of losing it. I would be careful where you decide to spout, because people will think you're crazy, but you're not. And I absolutely, totally, absolutely say you should be writing this stuff down, because there's an element of a prophet in you. Now, not a biblical prophet. A prophet is merely somebody who sees into the future and reports it. And so it's like a reporter, actually. So I would strongly urge you to start writing down some of these feelings, and some of them actually are ego, but for the most part, I'd say 90% of it has to do with a genuine ability to see into the future. And I'm not talking personal things with people like relationships and stuff like that. I'm talking global humanitarian types of feelings, and it should be very exciting for you as you go forward in time. Annie, what do you got?
That there's a flame inside of your heart, that there's a love that you once had. Barbara, you spoke about that, you know, you didn't know if there was a love that was lost. I do believe that there was an ancient love that was lost.
Yes.
And hang on, let me finish, sweetheart. There's an ancient knowledge. This has gone through many lifetimes, and it's like you keep kind of, it's almost like dropping a penny in the water, and it's kind of distorted on how that penny looks in the water, and when you reach for it, you're not really sure if you're grabbing the penny because it looks kind of a little distorted. That's the way you're reaching for this relationship. So what they're asking you to do is to close your eyes and to feel the love inside of you and allow it to flow into your life and watch it transform into light, not the relationship, the love that you feel. Do you understand the difference?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, this is the other thing that I want you to understand. They're showing me a mermaid, all right? Now, a mermaid to me is a more fickle than a regular chick, all right? She is one who's more slippery than a regular fish, so to speak. You procrastinate a lot. You know, you're like the squirrel that goes in the middle of the road. Should I stay or should I go now? But you are your own worst enemy. And the more you keep procrastinating, the worse your life becomes. So you need to become that, stand your ground. You need to become a standing bear. Do you understand what that means?
Yes, I completely understand. You're very, very, very right on all aspects, both of you.
Okay. And once you do that, you will see such a change in your life and in yourself that, you know, you'll actually grow legs and be able to look in the mirror for a longer period of time and actually really start to love yourself. Okay.
Yeah, I wanna jump on that just a little bit because
sure.
There's a part of you that feels as though that nothing's gonna work out for you, and I have to tell you that everything is gonna work out for you. That those
mm-hmm.
things that you have stopped hoping for and lost hope in are going to manifest, and please don't give up your dreams. And you have. And it's really important that you understand that the longer you have to wait for the magic to come, the greater it is. So for heaven's sakes, hang on to those hopes and wishes, because it feels as though I'm not going to tell you that they're going to happen tomorrow, but I will tell you that you have absolute pure and utter magic coming into your life. And it's going to be spectacular. You just have to, you know, grow legs and understand and let go of the victim part of you and reclaim the power that you have inside of you, because magic is afoot and it's amazing. Okay?
You know how they say let go and let God? You need to let go and be God. Understand?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay.
That's hard to get.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you so much, ladies. You don't know, that resonated with me 100% on every aspect, from losing the love, which really actually did happen to me recently, like him passing away. So everything you said was spot on, correct?
Awesome. So we'll give you a big cyber hug.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Good luck, sweetheart.
That was amazing. I saw those moors. They were as real as my swamp. My swamp is real. No, it's not a swamp. It's a pond, but there, you know, ponds have swampy parts, and you know, you can't go swimming in it. But it's water, and it's great, and I love having it around. But I'd rather be next to it than in it, for sure. Okay, we've got Marie here. Hi, Marie. How are you tonight?
Hi, thank you. I'm a little bit nervous, and I'm excited, and I'm ready for you to traumatize me. I'm
a willing victim. Okay, put the blindfold on and spin her around.
Okay, well, let's see what we got here. Actually, it's really cool. I'm seeing you have one of the most adventuresome and outrageous spirits that I've run across in a very, very long time. And you have to understand, we've all had thousands and thousands of lifetimes. And usually when I read somebody, you know, one or two or three will come up. But you have tons of them here. And what I love is there's a sense of fun. There's a sense of celebration. There's a sense of joy. And the lifetimes that I'm seeing, and that doesn't mean that all of them have been that way, but that's the ones that are coming up tonight. That would say to me that your spirit is joyous in this lifetime, and it's very hard to keep you down. It doesn't happen. But what I'm seeing here is, I mean, oh my God, you have been an exotic dancer in about 10 different lifetimes. And every single one of them, you just totally got blown away by the silks and the filminess and the bright colors and the bells. You loved having bells on your toes. I mean, you know, ankle bells. And just so that everybody knew where you were, you in one lifetime, you wore bells on both your ankles so people could hear you coming. They'd know where you were. And it's really cool because in one of the lifetimes you wore the bells even when you weren't dancing, and it was a way for people to know if they were annoying you, because suddenly you'd be tapping your foot and the bells would be jingling. And it was sort of like when they'd hear the bells jingle, they'd know, shut up and move on. And you know, in this lifetime, I would absolutely tell you to go out and get ankle bells, and just not for both feet, but just for one of them, so that people could hear you coming. Because when you come, you walk in music. When you enter a room, there is a sparkle about you. And I want to go back another couple of lifetimes here because they're just so great. You had feathers in India that you wore and you danced with. You became one with the music. You had your life during that lifetime was your own thing. You not only marched to your own drum, you carried it with you, and it was you were an entertained, and you entertained royalty. And you never would allow yourself to be sucked into anything. You were your own person. And in every single one of these lifetimes, you were your own person. And you didn't care what anybody else thought, because you were going to do your thing because you knew that it was important for you to do it. And you didn't necessarily know, why it was important for you to do your own thing. But you had such a strength of conviction that no one got in your way. If I take you back 3,000 years, I want to take you back. I'm in Russia someplace, and this is you have the Romney feel to you, so that I sense that it was a gypsy-ish lifetime. I'm not sure you were actually a gypsy, but you were gypsy-ish, and you refused to be controlled by what society felt. You absolutely rebelled against authority. I mean, they tried everything with you. They tried to, not tie you down, but keep you locked in. They tried, tutors that were very, very strict. They tried trying to throw you into some sort of religious service of some sort. Wouldn't have anything to do with that either. They kicked you out. And it got to the place where your father finally threw his hands up and said, just don't break any laws and don't bring any dishonor upon the house. And at that point, you let your hair fly free. You wore pants, which was very bad. And you went out riding when you felt like it. And at some point during that lifetime, you wanted to learn how to use a sword, and they taught you how to use a sword. They would not let you go to war, but you really wanted to. There was a sense that you have a free spirit inside of you, so that it will be impossible for you to be structured in any way, shape, or form. You just won't fit in a box. And as soon as you feel that somebody is beginning to say, oh, you fit right in, you rebel terribly and cause a problem. You are a pleasure to have around. You are a horror to have you work for. I wouldn't want to be your employer, but your friend would be great. You have a sense of joy that is profound. I want to take you into China, and the lifetime in China is really you learned how to. You were I'm not sure. I'm back very far. I don't know if the geisha were there, but you were geisha-ish. And what was lovely was you learned to be demure. You learned everything you were supposed to learn. And then when they finally sent you out to do something, to entertain gentlemen, and you were talented in music, and you sang, and you danced, and you did the tea service fine, but you didn't want to do that stuff. So that as soon as they sent you out to entertain, you would do things like, spilling the tea on somebody, or belching out loud, or you just did something so that you were sent packing. You were a rare beauty, extraordinarily talented, but absolutely unpredictable. And after a while, they just shook their heads and you got expelled. At which time you went into the provinces where you could dress as you wanted to, where you could use your you were very musically inclined, where you sang and you entertained children and you had a wonderful time. Many, many lovers. You just couldn't pick one, so you took them all. I'm not sure you're doing that this lifetime. But
a true joy,
an absolute joy, and your spirit is just it's busting at the seams. I mean, it's very hard for you to actually be normal, and you celebrate the fact that you're not. Annie, what have you got?
This is a time that you have balanced. You've really exerted. I don't know what you've recently gone through, but it's been something really big where you've pushed through a lot of energy. But you've taken light and dark, earth and sky, moon and sun, all things that are opposite, and you've brought them into balance, male and female, yin and yang, to create some perfect balance. But this has left you completely depleted because I see you ghost-like. So to me, that makes that you look pale to me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Okay, you look
accurate.
Okay, because you look. I don't want to say ill, but you look wafy, sickly,
yes,
achy.
Yes.
Okay. So what they're saying is that you need to take care of your beautiful self, and they're giving you the deer. And the deer just represents that you are to take care of yourself because this is a time for you to lay back in the cut. And if there's somebody there to take care of you, somebody that can nurse you back to health, wonderful. But if there isn't, that's okay because you can do the job as well. But you need to do this now. And the sooner the better. And once this is done, this won't take you long to get back on your feet and get that rest that you need to get that vitality back up, get those energy and that juices flowing and that good food back into your system so that you have everything that you need to kind of get recharged and whatever. Is there a vacation or some time off coming up?
There could be. I'm actually in the process of moving, and just to validate everything you said, I've been separated from
okay.
my husband, and so everything you
well,
said is
they showed me you were holding on to a rat. I didn't want to say that, but you know the whole girl.
I understand. Don't hold back. Don't sugarcoat. Just tell me.
I'm not saying that he was a rat, but that's what they gave me. You know, rat's not a bad thing. You know, some rats are cute. But, okay, I understand that now. But this, you're gonna land on your feet, and they want you
it's
to know
scary.
That.
It's scary, and that's why I'm depleted. I'm moving again, and I guess we're going to proceed with the divorce process now, and I'm just... It's scary. Change is scary.
Well, they're saying trust that all will turn out and everything will be as it should be and it'll fall into place. Peace of mind and tranquility will soon be yours and it will be the end result for all involved. Know this to be true, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And Barbara, I have to tell you, a friend of mine actually bought me a gift certificate for a pole dancing lesson last year, and I have not redeemed it yet, so maybe I should.
Absolutely. You're going to find a hidden talent you just didn't even know was there.
In private, perhaps, but...
She's going to be wiggling them bells around.
But I do
oh,
love
I would.
To dance. I love to dance and I love music. So everything that you said, Barbara, also resonated deep inside me.
Well, you know, I would really, they have those anklets that have bells on them. You can find them. The only place I'm sure you can Google them and find them. The only place I've ever actually seen them was at a Renaissance fair. And, you know, they're leather with bells on them. But I'm sure you could Google bell anklets and come up with a few dozen.
You know, there's a lot of Tibetan sites that actually have them too because I have them and I just love them. And look up the belly dancing sites because they have them as well.
Yep, I will. And I live in LA, so I'm sure I'll be able to find a place locally.
Now, do you have children? Marie, do you have children? You have children?
I do. I have two teenage daughters, and that's another part of me that's being depleted. But knock on wood, they're supportive of my choices and what I'm going through.
I would think that they would get such a kick out of you jingling around.
I don't know if I'll wear it around them, because then they'll know when I'm coming.
Yeah, I was gonna say it is kind of like belling the cat, but
could put it on them.
Exactly.
Well, I would really wear them around, at least around the house, because in a way it helps to raise your vibration. It helps to raise your energy and bring the laughter back.
Yeah,
I like
true.
That. Well, after I settle into my new place, I will look for some. And I am going to look into your spiritual circle, Barbara.
Oh.
It'll be amazing.
I need it. I need it. Definitely.
Well, it is tomorrow. So if you're going to do it, send the stuff in to me, and send your name and your email and your phone number in to me at barbaradelong@gmail.com, and I'll get the information out to you.
I won't be able to listen live, but I believe I heard Chris said that it will be an archive.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 7 p.m. on Thursday, and then a 1 p.m. on Friday. And, you know, if I have your name and your email, I will send you the material we're going to be talking about. And, yeah, it'll archive. So
okay.
At least you'll know what the heck we're talking about. And the material is, I think the material is good. So
I would love that. I'm moving on Friday, so tomorrow and Friday are going to be a little hectic for me. But I would love to participate even in spirit.
Sure. Well, just send me your email and your telephone number, just in case sometime you feel like you can make it, and I'll send the material out to you each week.
Love it. Thank you so much, ladies. This has been
You're very welcome.
And it's been a tough week, so I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
I got to tell Chris to calm down. We have 45 people signed up for that circle, Anne.
So you're going to have to do it longer now.
Well, no. I mean, somebody asked how long I was going to do it for, and you know, I said until I run out of information. And, you know, to even think that I could possibly run out of stuff to share, you know, because I'm still growing and learning. Well, you know,
we're going to have Monday class, Tuesday class. So we're going to have Monday child, Tuesday child, Wednesday child.
Well, you know, I think the reason that I even thought about it was that while there are classes out there for psychic development and mediumship development and aura seeing and all of that stuff, there's nothing that really takes you into the philosophy of the aspect that that is the foundation for all of those tools.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really funny. I was working on material. Let me pass this by you. See how weird you think this is, because I thought it was quite weird. But it also it's frighteningly made a little bit of sense to me. I was working on, just how do we tap into our higher self? How do we get to that aspect of ourself? And the material that I was getting talked about how, you know, at creation there was an energy that sort of generated everything else. It was an energy, a consciousness that expanded and expanded and expanded and expanded. And at its, within its expansion, it created planets and galaxies and all sorts of stuff. And it just, it accumulated so much energy. It was so profound. It was indeed what one could call the infinite spirit. It was infinite. And what happened was that it became so great that it got to a point where it absolutely exploded into billions of little teeny pieces. And they landed on planets, and they landed all over the place, and they were the etheric energy of that one great spirit that created everything, but now was fragmented all over all of creation. And those little fragments took on forms on whatever planet or whatever. They created forms in which to live. And so basically, within each of us is a piece of that all-encompassing infinite energy that exploded, and our journey is back to reassembling all of the pieces to recreate the total God that created all of us.
Yep. That's pretty much it.
In other words, you know, we are a piece of all of creation, and that
sure.
we are journeying back to a time when we can gather once more and reassemble that greatness. I don't know what to do, but, you know, that didn't come to me yet.
You know, it's funny. It's like everyone sees it as like a spark or you know, the Big Bang Theory or whatever. I almost see it as like orbs, you know,
uh-huh.
or like, you know, when you blow bubbles.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get the bubbles that have all these different facets in it, and then they kind of just break apart, and then you have all the bubbles that kind of go all over the place. That's
uh-huh.
kind of how I see it, as, you know, the bottle of the bubble stuff being the God head, so to speak.
Yeah.
And
what was amazing to me was, you know, we're all looking at a father figure of sorts that is an etheric energy, source of energy pulsating. And the reality appears at this moment in time, at least from, you know, the stuff that I've been getting. And the reality of it is there is no longer that pulsating big, great, big mass, because it's scattered all over the universe. And, you know, it's that we all have a part of it. And our purpose is to grow to the point where we can get together and recreate creation. So
true.
when we're talking about, you know, praying to an entity or praying to someone, something, the reality is we should be touching inside and saying, hey, remember me? Where are we going? You know?
Yeah, well, you know, just like I told the
map.
Caller, you know.
I lost the map. Did you take notes? Did you come with a GPS? You know? Okay, we've got Anna here. Hi, Anna. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Okay.
Awesome.
I'll let you go first, Anna, Annie, and I'll clean up after you.
Okay. I want to say that there is there's a strong magnetic attraction between you and another person, and through this relationship, you'll discover a deeper part of yourself as well as the other person in this through intimacy, so to speak. And also that through this relationship, you'll learn how to become independent. And I know that sounds kind of weird, from being in a relationship, how you can become independent. But sometimes when you're in a family unit, you never get to be on your own until you're on your own. But through this new relationship, you will learn how to be independent, because this other person will allow you to really be yourself.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I guess that's someone I'm going to be meeting something new?
I want to say this is something that has to do with school, because I see a lot of books around you and a lot of paperwork.
Okay.
All right. And I also smell, and I know this is odd, but I smell bacon.
Oh. Sorry. Sorry. My favorite fruit.
I'm just pointing that out.
Can I hop on that?
Sure.
It's time to take the bacon off the fire. You don't want it to burn. So it feels here as though you have a situation that that feels you have several situations going on in your life right now that feel a little hot.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing a fire extinguisher. So it's time to cool down. It's time to cool down situations. It's time to cool down temper. It's time to cool down. And Spirit is saying it's time to actually, please, let the universe take care of whatever is going on. Don't try to manipulate things. Don't try to, I keep hearing, get even. I don't feel that you're a vengeful person. I feel that there has been a situation or two where people have taken advantage of you, and rather than being outraged and insulted, let's just make sure it never happens again, and you know, retake your power, and make sure that when things start to get dicey, so to speak, you say no, I don't think so, I'm moving on. Quite often, when things have to be, when a great deal of time has to be taken to resolve a situation, sometimes it's easier and better for everybody to just move on and not do it with having to have the last word, though I know how sweet that is. It just feels to me as though there is a new you here, and it's a you that will not take abuse, that will not allow people to make you a victim, and it will not allow you to have yourself taken advantage of. So it's a cool time for you. I keep hearing drums, and they're native drums. So I'm feeling strongly that there is a Native American connection here to you, and I almost feel that it's genetic. So not only is there a spiritual connection on a spirit level, there is one I feel genetically, and you may have to go back, I don't know, four or five generations, but I think you have Native American blood in you. And what I'm feeling here is that there is a resonance, a remembrance of a Native energetic that is one with nature, that blends you with the Earth Mother and nature. It's a source of solace and comfort and joy to you to be able to reconnect with the Earth Mother. And I feel that you have shamanistic qualities. Now, that doesn't mean you're a shaman. It means that in a past life or two, you actually were shamans. And shamans are, I guess, wise people. They are people who have gathered wisdom through age and experience. They are not made, they are born. And I feel strongly here that there is an amazing energy inside of you that has great strength, great power, great philosophy. And as you get older, you're going to find that philosophy and that energy starts to emerge to a greater and greater and greater extent. And as that happens, you're going to find that people do look to you for counsel, for fairness, for wisdom on some levels, and you're going to find that counselatory nature that has been within you for very long is one that you're going to be able to use. You're not professionally, but it's going to be an aspect of your character that people will value and trust greatly. You have a great sense of, you understand what it's like to be abused. And I'm not saying necessarily physically, but you do understand the emotional abuse. And because you have lived through it, survived it, and are going to become more and more powerful because of it, it was worth the trip. And you're going to be able to share the wisdom that you have gathered, and you're going to help other people understand the wisdom of strength and the wisdom of truth and the wisdom of fairness and the wisdom of equality. So you have a long, long, long path ahead of you, and you're going to do so much wonderful stuff for other people. You have to understand that in order to be able to give the wisdom of the experience, you have to go through it yourself. And you know, I'm not sure that you consciously would have signed on for this, but since you're there, it feels to me as though you're going to use the experience to a great advantage for a great many people. So it's going to be something that you will look back on and be grateful for, though you will not write a thank you note. Okay?
Okay.
Nobody, in my opinion, no one on the earth plane at this moment in time is that evolved that they'll write a thank you note to someone who abused them. But it makes you a much better person, and the fact that you survived it and can smile and laugh means that you'll be able to use that energy and help a lot of people. So it was a great experience, and thank God you're done with it. Okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okie dokie. We've got Emma here.
Thank you, Jenny.
Hi, Emma. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, how are you?
Absolutely fabulous.
Good.
How can we help? No, don't ask a question. I'm sorry, I lied. You can't ask a question. I'm so used to how can I help you that it's
That's
just flipped
okay.
out. I really, really don't care how I can help you, but I'm going to give you the best I've got, okay?
Okay.
I see. Oh, my God, that was Freudian for sure. I feel horses around you. I feel the need for freedom. I feel that there is a wildness about you that is just unbelievable. I want to break you out. I want you to break out of whatever jail you've created for yourself and just set yourself free. Because you're the jailer. That's the weird thing. You're the one that's creating the jail. Nobody's doing this to you. I don't know what you're afraid of, but you've got so much freedom, so much joy, so much power inside of you, and for some reason you're afraid to put that toe in the water, that foot in the water, and get going with it. I feel that if I look into your spirit, and I just feel you wanting to break the bonds, to break the chains, to get rid of whatever it is that's holding you back and allow you to fly. And actually, I do feel that at night you do fly. I do feel that you astral travel. I do feel that there is a sense of in your dreams are profound, you know, and you have to understand that you can actually, dreams are just reality waiting to happen. So you know, I would absolutely journal your dreams down so you understand how they are a prophetic aspect of your life. There is this sense of reaching for the stars. I can see you in what looks like a white. This goes back to probably the 1700s. I see you as a child at night in a long white nightdress, you know, with sleeves and stuff like that, and you used to wait for everybody to be quiet. You lived on a farm, and oh, I can even tell you where you lived. You lived in Oklahoma, in that area of the country. It wasn't Oklahoma then, but you used to wait for everybody to go to sleep, and you used to slip out of the house, and you would walk in the fields, and you would walk and just feel like you were in another world, and I think in many cases you were. I feel that there was an interdimensional quality to you, and it was what I find fascinating is that animals were drawn to you, not only the domesticated ones, but it was not out of the ordinary for a deer to walk up and for you to walk for a while with a deer. or even, you know, the little warm fuzzies, the bunny rabbits and the foxes and stuff like that. You even, from time to time, would have I'm not sure what's indigenous there, but I'm seeing something that is like a lion, so I don't know if it was a bobcat or something like that. It's a big cat. And you would walk with the animals, and it feels here as though, you know, you really do trust the animals more than you trust people, and there's a reason for that. You do have a synchronicity with animals. I'm not saying that you're supposed to be, you know, an animal whisperer or anything like that, but you bring that quality into this lifetime. So animals are drawn to you, and that's a good thing, because it means there's nothing but good energy in you, because animals are smart, and if you have any bit of nastiness in you, they will just stay away from you like crazy. So what you got here also, I have another past life that keeps creeping in here, and so I'm going to bring it forward. I want to say it's about 5,000 or 6,000 years. I want to take you back to a part. No, I want to take you back farther. I want to go back maybe 12,000 years, because it feels as though the continents were not quite the way they are now. It feels as though, you know, I can't really determine, you know, exactly what part of the world I'm even looking at. But it does feel here as though. It feels here as though there is a sense of there weren't people here. There weren't people here at all, and you were definitely sort of alone. It's almost as though you had wandered off and you lived alone. You lived with the animals. You lived at one with nature. And I really feel that in many ways you would like to do that now, because it feels as though sometimes society overwhelms you and you feel much more comfortable being alone or being, you know, with a one or two person group as opposed to a large. It feels like large groups really do not resonate to you. So, you know, you've got magic in you. You've got that aspect of breaking free and soaring, literally soaring. I feel that you're coming very close to a time where you're going to come into your own, and when that happens, all sorts of wonderful new experiences are going to hit you, and it's going to be a profound experience for you. Annie, what are you getting? A profound experience for you. Anne? Did I lose Anne? Anne? Hello, Anne.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello?
Hi. You there? Unmute yourself. You're muted. Okay, well, while she's fiddling, let me go one step further. Lots of flowers around you. There's a sense here of flowers, and it feels as though if you have a garden, I would say that you have a green thumb. If you don't have a garden, I still would say you have a green thumb, and you're going to find that growing things and helping things to reach their maturity so that they can be of help to humanity is something that you would do very, very well. You've had past lives. Annie, are you there? Annie, unmute yourself. And she's wandering in the wilderness all by herself, I think. Okay, so I would definitely say that working with Anne, hello. Thank you. I can hear her too, but I don't think she can hear us. So green things, gardens, being in the forest is something that would be really, really important to you.
Jeez. Can you hear me now?
So, yeah, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. I don't know what the heck happened to my thing. It was just really weird.
Well, we have Emma on here. Have you heard anything that's been going on?
Yeah. I actually got, you know, it was weird because you were saying stuff about the horses.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was getting a lot of elemental stuff with her and a lot of animals around her. But I was also getting that, you know, now is the time for her to use her abilities and to sharpen her skills as far as schoolwork is concerned and as far as work is concerned, because there's a lot of big things coming up for her where she has to be focused, firm, fair, and consistent in dealing with all these things that are coming her way. There's a lot of changes that she's going to be making and that are being made around her. All right. There are things that she's going to be learning, new skill sets that are going to liberate and excite her as well. There's also going to be some opportunities to learn things. And I feel like, and I know this sounds very odd, but some of the opportunities that she will have to learn things may be in the line of either holistic healing or witchcraft. And you know, I don't want to say, I hate to say witchcraft like that because, you know, people go, witchcraft. But, it, you know, think of wise woman of the earth more so than, you know, I cast a spell on you, you know, type of thing. it's more that you are doing holistic healings and stuff with, you know, the environment and being very health conscious and worried about the earth. I see a lot of Peace Corps stuff. And that you have to be very flexible. You're very hard-headed. And you know, this is something from a relative that has passed over, and they're saying hard head makes a soft ass. So, you know, they just want you to, you know, really stay focused because you can go a long way and get the things that you really cherish in life and get your point across. You know, you get more with honey than you do with vinegar. Is that how they say it? And uh-huh. They want you to be able to do this because it's very important to you. And they're saying something about, and I know this is weird, did you feel like you were raised by wolves?
Raised by wolves.
Yeah, or something like that. Did you ever use that expression?
No, I had a lot. No, not really.
Okay, because they're using that expression with me, and I said I'll just pass it along. You know,
maybe
so
maybe like lions and cats, meaning Leos. I have a lot of Leos in my family.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just bringing it to your attention.
Gotcha.
You know, I try not to decipher it because if I think too much into it, I'll wrap a story around it. but you know, you take it and it'll come to mean something to you the more you think on it.
Okay.
But basically what they're saying for you to do is use the ability that you have, the charismatic way that you go about life, the gentleness of your heart, you know, that stubbornness that you have that really is coming from love. To do the things that you do to move you forward and to help you learn and to help the people around you learn. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
One more thing. Oh. Sorry. There's some ancient knowledge that has to do with the earth, and they're also talking about crystals, and that crystals are the key to the ancient knowledge.
Okay.
All right. They said you understand that, and that you understand that love and abundance is the result.
Okay.
Of utilizing that key.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank
okay.
you, Emma, for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
You touched on something that I want to kind of go into for a couple seconds or minutes if we can.
Okay.
Crystals have been something that have been around a long time, and people use them in different ways for different reasons, and I have found that they definitely do have power. They definitely are able to focus. I mean, I have a Herkimer diamond that I use that I use to sort of stabilize myself a lot of times when I need to be grounded.
Mm-hmm.
How far back can you yourself, you know, in the reading that you've done, how far back does that aspect of the crystals really come into time? I mean, I know they say that you know, there were crystals in Atlantis, but I want to hit recorded history. So were they used before gems were faceted? Is that why they were used and prized? I mean, do you have any idea? I know that originally they were decorative. They weren't meant to be utilized for healing or for insight or for whatever. Do you have any idea when they went from ornamentation to spiritualization?
Only one time somebody put a crystal in my hand, and the crystal that they put in my hand, I knew was my crystal from, I'm not going to even lie, it wasn't thousands of years ago, but it was millions of years ago that this crystal was mine. And, I mean, the information that was inside of that crystal was intense. And he wouldn't let me hold on to that crystal but for a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that that was even before this earth was even formed, before this galaxy was even formed. So however long that is, it was longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that they were, you know, it's like Horton Hears a Who. I feel like they were all, their own planetary things were, you know, so small. Everything was in, they were kind of like the first SD cards.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, there are some crystals that you hold them and you just suddenly your mind opens up. And there are others that are totally empty. I can see them as being thumb drives, you know, galactic thumb drives. Maybe I know that they have always been, well, crystals. I mean, come on, look at radio. Used to use crystals. So they have been used for communication, for sure, through time. And you know, at some point in time, they became ornamental. And probably the very first ornamental jewelry, crowns, whatever, had crystals in them as opposed to, you know, faceted stones, because it took a while to figure out how to facet the stones so that they sparkled and they were clear and they were precious. So, you know, they've gone through quite a renaissance, if you will, of utilization within humanity. And I'm feeling kind of like they're coming back into their own. People are beginning to understand, you know, that crystals are more than just a pretty thing. And you know, go ahead. I heard you breathe.
It's almost like, you know, you would think that, like, well, I think about the birds. The birds were always the ones that would pick up shiny objects.
Mm-hmm.
Before, and they were always the ones to appreciate any type of beauty. So what if they were the first ones to really decide that, you know, they were more precious than anything else? You know,
it'd
be interesting to find out. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah,
I never really
thought
about it.
You know, you know, when you look at, there's a show on TV, Prospectors, and
yeah.
you know, they're looking for, they look for all sorts of, you know, the semi-precious stones that are in crystalline condition. And I'm wondering, you know, throughout time, somebody digging found them, it would have been magic. It would have been treasure they found. So, especially the ones that you know, have the they're faceted already. And maybe that's where the idea to facet other gemstones came from. The crystals already grew faceted. So, you know, maybe they tried to make the other stones like that. I'd love to know what the evolution of all of that is. Another thing to research. I just noticed the time. thank you, everybody, for being here. And Curious Times, I'm sure, is starting within minutes, if it isn't already. Do go over and check out Chris's show on Curious Times. It's an adventure in and of itself. And thank you so much. This was just so delightful, and thank you for playing with me with my new format.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're coming back next week, I think, so.
Yeah.
So you can catch your breath, and I will catch you then. Thank you so much.
Right.
It's been a pleasure. Good night now.
Good night, honey.
Good night, everybody. See you. Well, see some of you tomorrow and Friday. And after that, Sunday at Curious Times. Take care now. Bye-bye.